you're holding me back. And she woke up from that dream, and she was almost like she had worked through the grief. And so I think your dad was helping you work through your grief by saying that he was sorry. And I'm sure he was sorry that he could not have been more to you, closer, more connected, more loving, more kind. But I think he gave you a gift.
Yeah.
I'm sure he could not apologize when he was alive.
No.
It was very hard for him.
Yeah, it was. We just,
Yeah.
So when he wasn't drinking, it was like he would almost not even look, you know, straight at you. He was always avoiding, you know, and then when he was drinking, it was just so, it was horrible.
But the real him, Margaret, the real him came through in the dream. And I think you realize that inwardly.
That dream has just, you know, when I think of him, I think of the way he looked in it.
Absolutely. And that's the real him. And those are your real feelings. So thank you very much for sharing that.
Thank you very much.
Did that help you, Margaret?
Yeah, it helps me a lot.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. Margaret, he understands that there is a psychology of the spirit as well, it seems like. And maybe that spirit communication for so many of us, although there are other avenues, I think, when you get a little more involved, is the dream. Can I digress for just a moment? We have some interesting things that are going to happen here coming up in the next couple of weeks. Tom Bearden and John Bedini next week will be talking about the frontiers of science. You'll find out some very startling evidence of how perhaps the Challenger did not go down all by itself. That it had a little help along with the three Ariane missiles, the Deltas, and the Titans that couldn't get up there, from a man who ought to know. And the week after that, things spiritual, Ramtha will be here. Jay-Z Knight will be in studio, and Ramtha will come forth. So that ought to be quite fascinating for those of you that are in the world of transmediumship. Right now we're in the world of dreams with Dr. Bernard, and with us is Renee.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I want to express my appreciation for your show. I listen to it very often.
Thank you very much.
Very informative. I had a dream that I remembered very clearly about my two fingers being severed from my right hand. They were my middle finger and my ring finger. I was at work at some place that was unfamiliar to me, with people that I'm not familiar with, but yet I was comfortable with them. And I looked down, and on this pillow, this white pillow, laid my two fingers, cleanly severed with no blood. And I was so stunned to see my fingers there because I hadn't noticed that they were missing. And I remembered talking to someone about that. I said, oh, my fingers are off. And they said, well, how long have they been off? And I said, I just noticed it. And they said, well, as long as it's under 12 hours, it's all right, because you have 12 hours in which you can bring them back to a hospital, and they can sew them back on, and the nerves will be joined, and everything will be okay. And then I felt relief that I could take care of my fingers. And then I said to myself, well, I think what I'll do is just go back to work, and I'll just handle this within the 12 hours. And that's what I did. And towards the end of those 12 hours, within that time frame, I looked at my hand, and I had noticed that my two fingers had grown back to their full length. And I noticed that when I looked on the pillow, there were my other two fingers. And that dream just stayed with me. I had a sequel to that dream. But
first dream is enough.
Yeah.
I think that.
Yeah. But when I had discussed it with someone, I dreamt another dream about someone else that had no limbs from their knees down, and I didn't notice that for a long time.
Renee, was this the dream, it took place at your work?
Yes, in a place that I normally work by myself, and I was working with people.
And you normally work alone, but in the dream you were working with people.
Yes.
What kind of work is it?
That I do, or that...
That you do.
Oh, I'm in sales right now.
Telephone sales?
Oh, no. I'm in drapery and alternate window treatments. I sell that.
Mm-hmm. Do you like your work?
Yes.
Are you hassled at work at all?
Yes, it's very... there's some craziness involved with it, yes.
What kind of craziness is involved?
Well, I'm new at this job. I've been there for about 5 weeks. And as far as it being orientated towards being organized, it seems as if it takes forever to get something done that's basically very simple. But the people that I work with, it doesn't seem that I can coordinate with them without it being a long span of time. Sometimes things are not resolved, and I find that when I'm away from the store, that I do better.
Mm.
That so now it kind of, I want to use the word sever.
Say that again now. I want you to say that again.
I kind of severed myself. I'm thinking in terms of I will, you know, pick myself away from there and just work on my own, separate myself from the craziness.
That's exactly what you have to do. Because if you sever yourself from that situation, you will grow something new that will replace it. You see, the dream is obviously connected to your work and the frustrations and the fact that sometimes, without those two fingers, your hand... In fact, you didn't even notice that your fingers in the dream had been severed. You just saw them on the pillow. So,
but you know what? I had this dream before I started this job.
Well, it's a precognitive dream. It's a dream that probably even predicted the situation. But without the two fingers, you said it was the index finger and the ring?
No, it was the middle finger and the ring finger.
The middle finger and the ring finger. Are you married?
Can I
no.
be precognitive here while everybody gets here?
No, I'm not. I'm divorced.
Can you hang on just a second?
Sure.
I have this precognitive thing.
Sure.
But we'll be right back with you. So don't you go away, Ray.
All right.
The 19
hand is often representative of the work hand, the doing hand.
Yes.
And it's the active hand. The left hand is a much more passive hand. The other thing was that I think that you need to allow, and it relates to the job situation, I think you need to sever some connection so that something new can take its place. Something new can replace it. Something new will grow. If you have a fear of letting go of a certain aspect of your job, the dream is encouraging you to release it because something will regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
A new appendage will grow.
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid to leave the work situation and kind of spring out on your own?
No. No, I've been self-employed for 17 years.
Yeah.
So this is another form of self-employment. So it's the same form, different
yeah.
type of which related work, but,
right.
you know...
Right. Well, I think that you need to follow through on your idea, the one that you mentioned about removing yourself from the office. We all have to, at some time or another, make a choice to change, because dreams are encouraging us to change. You get rid of two old fingers, and a change occurs, and two new ones take its place. Change is life, Renee.
All right, Renee?
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
Here, entertainment.
I want to take just a moment to play a little bit of this song again. Our guest is Dr. Arthur Bernard, who is an expert on dreams. By the way, Arthur, if someone wanted to reach you, find out about their dreams, or, you know, find out more about you, what you do, do you have a phone number and address where we can get to you? I know you do, but I want to guess. I just found him on the street walking down here. I met somebody for the show, and he just turned out to be a good guy.
Yeah, it's Arthur Bernard, 14724. Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks, and the telephone number is area code 818-990-5490.
And you're a psychiatrist?
Psychologist.
Psychologist? All of you are crazy.
But the crazy ones are interesting.
It's the crazies that are running the institution, right?
Absolutely.
And that's the truth around KABC, you see. But... But and you do specialize in dreams. You've made quite a study.
Well, actually, what I specialize in is individual and couple counseling. I do a lot of marriage counseling also, but and then also the dream work. And I find that the dreams just give me so much more valuable information than a person can give consciously. You know, a person can say this, this, and this, but then when they bring a dream, it's so accurate. For example, just to give you a quick example, in couple counseling, a wife will come in and say, or a husband comes in and says, I dreamt my wife died last night. Now, the relationship, they've been married for 32 years. They have a wonderful relationship. Why would he dream of her dying? He's not angry at her. He has no hate, no resentment towards her. And as we started to talk, what came out of it was that he was too dependent on her. And that the dream was trying to kill her so he could be more independent and self-sufficient. And the one question I asked him was, if your wife was dead, what would happen? Well, I'd have to do this, 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 and this. So very often in couple counseling, a dream will show the essence of the problem. One couple I was working with came in, they had a marriage problem, and the wife dreamt that she was in bed with the husband. And her father and his mother were also in bed. The four of them were in bed together. So as a diagnosis, we knew where the problem was immediately.
It was a little party that got out of hand.
So I just find dreams are just so valuable. The psychic facts and dreams are true. Dreams are truth. Dreams are facts.
Why don't they speak English?
Well, they do speak a language, and it's much older than English.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we were dreaming long before we had language.
True.
And dreams speak the language of symbols. And one symbol can sum up a whole lifestyle problem. One symbol can represent so much more than a sign or language can attest to.
Mm-hmm.
So dreams, nature is economical, and I think it tries to get the message across in as quickly a way as possible. Nature does not like to waste energy. Therefore, a one brief dream, a symbolic dream, can represent a whole life issue that a person is struggling with. And I think that's why dreams, quote, don't speak in English.
All right. Well, I'm glad they do, because English... You can say one thing and mean another. Speaking of dreams, I know we all have a dream of world peace. There's an international appeal for you to spend a moment with it.
A dream, simple as it seems, that's how we got to the moon. Then you keep it in mind all of the time, and miracles really will happen. I know it's true, no matter what the odds are, if you just believe, you'll always find an answer.
Comes an hour, one
for Peace. It's an international appeal that is going on all over the world right now. It's supported by the United Nations and most every government in the world. Our leading corporations and political leaders the world over are saying there is great value in your thoughts and you putting aside a moment of meditation and in thought about international peace. And our great thanks to Sister Mary Eichler, E-K-L-E-R, who was a guest on the show here about 6 weeks ago for that marvelous little piece of music. We just may play it again on her.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
It's a hit song.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
On top of all of that, that's better than most of the stuff you hear going around today. Okay, Sam, you're on.
Yes, good evening. I don't remember my dreams. With one exception, it's one dream that is quite traumatic and unpleasant to me, but it keeps recurring, you know, that's the only one I remember. And I would like Dr. Bernard to interpret it for me. But before I tell the dream, I would like to ask him some questions about him. For example, do you teach your patients how to interpret their dreams, or are they totally dependent on you?
No, I teach them how to interpret their dreams. I don't have time to do this on the radio to teach you how to interpret your own dreams.
I understand.
I think the best interpreter of a dream is the dreamer. Many people shy away from that because when they first approach it, they think it just doesn't make sense. It's a puzzle that no way are they going to figure out. No, I help people. I teach them a lot of different techniques. I give them a lot of different tools to work with dreams. I even sometimes hypnotize someone and let them interpret their own dream in the hypnotic state. And they usually are a lot more accurate than I am. What I'm doing on this radio show is more detective work, kind of giving you some general clues or general ideas.
Now, how do I benefit by remembering my dreams?
How do you benefit from that?
Yes.
Well, I think the first thing is remembering a dream itself can change you. Just the experience of waking up and having a pleasant dream can leave you during the daytime with a carryover feeling that makes you much more optimistic, much more hopeful, and so on. The other benefit you can get from dreams is if you try and understand them, understand what the message is, and then apply it in your life. Like the previous caller, Renee, or even Al, if they can take the message that dream was trying to state, Renee's dream about losing something but then having it regenerated, she needs to now act. She needs to make a decision. The unconscious is presenting her with certain information. It's saying, look, if you do this, this is going to happen. But nothing happens unless your conscious mind puts it into action. So you need to put into action what you learn. I know many people, in fact, some mental hospitals are full of people who understand their dreams. And they have magnificent dreams, but nothing ever happens in their life because they can't apply it.
Is there a risk, Dr. Bernard, that a person can interpret a dream erroneously and...
No risk at all.
Pardon me?
Sam, no risk at all.
I see.
If it's interpreted incorrectly, a person knows that and senses that, and you'll have a correcting dream after that. And I thought that the other question you were going to ask me, is it dangerous to work on dreams? No, I think it's dangerous not to work on your dreams.
And no, my other question to Bernard is, in your interpretations of dreams, how poetic is your interpretation and how scientific?
Oh, there's no science in this.
Sam, no science at all.
Sam, this is artwork. That's a pun. No pun intended. My name is Arthur. No. You can't say...
No pun whatsoever. Right.
Sam, science, if it was scientific, then every dream that had this particular symbol under these particular conditions would mean the same thing. You and I can have the same symbol, and it can mean something totally different. This is artwork. It's creative. When we're awake, we all look at the same physical world. When we're asleep, each one of us is in our own creative world.
I think we said something earlier that dreams are like fingerprints.
Exactly.
You and I dreamed exactly the same dream. They would have probably totally different meanings.
Yeah. Sam, this is a work of art. It unfolds. As you work on it, it unfolds.
I would like to mention my dream because, you know, as I said, it's very traumatic to me. But I want to ask you just one last question. Before I should tell you about my dream, is your own set of value? I mean, so do you? So in other words, in your interpretation, you put your own set of values, your own philosophies and morals. Is that correct?
Oh no,
no.
I try not to, Sam. Sam, you have some. You're really testing me about my qualifications of working on your dream. Do you have some reluctance to share this dream?
No.
Oh, have you ever shared it before or worked on it or gotten some meaning out of it?
Well, let me tell you, maybe, this is what I dream, Dr. Bernard, is that, I'm going to die on that moment. This is what I dream.
That you're going to die?
On that particular moment of the dream. In other words, it's as if, it's like if I fail to do or not to do something,
mm-hmm.
and as a consequence, I am to die. It's like I'm condemned to die because of my failure to do or not to do something. Now that something, it may have been revealed in the dream, but I don't remember it.
Okay. What nationality are you, Sam? There's an accent there, and I'm real curious about what that is.
Yes, I speak Spanish, I am not of Spanish descent or Latin descent. My folks are from Europe.
From Europe.
And not necessarily from Spain.
I see. From Europe.
Yes.
Well, how are you going to die in the dream?
I don't know. I don't remember. I have an awful memory in real life. And I guess if you have a bad memory in real life, you also have a bad memory about dreams too. Is that correct?
You can. It can have some effect. It can have a carryover.
It seemed like that's what happened to me. But what happened, Dr. Bernard, is that I wake up. I think I wake up. But not fully. I don't fully wake. And my heart pumps tremendously,
mm-hmm.
and I am very afraid, very fearful,
mm-hmm.
and I guess immediately I fall back to sleep.
Yeah.
So I never, in other words, I don't fully wake.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, Sam.
And by the way, doctor,
yes.
In about 2 or 3 years that I've been dreaming this, or maybe once every, I'm not sure, maybe every 2 months, every 3 months.
I see.
And just recently, maybe in the last 2 months, that I became aware that of that dream, that I remember that dream.
I see.
For the first time.
Right. How old are you, Sam?
It's very strange.
How old are you?
I'm 54.
54? You sound much younger.
Oh, I see.
That's all right, Sam. I'm in my mind, I'm picturing a younger man for some reason. Are you, what kind of work do you do, Sam?
I work in an office,
mm-hmm.
Sort of sedentary work. I deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a generic social work, so to speak.
Mm. Are you a perfectionist?
Perfectionist?
Yes.
Perhaps in some things.
Are you afraid of making mistakes?
Depends.
Are you afraid of making big mistakes?
Well, yes. Like if you are in the road,
mm-hmm.
and making a mistake can cost your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think I dream sometimes of this type of thing, like of a crash, something like that.
Yeah.
Crash or something.
Yeah. Well, Sam, let me just generally say, I think what the dream may relate to. Remember, I'm just giving you some. I have a short amount of time, and I'm just giving you some general ideas here.
And by the way, I envy Simon. Simon only dreams very good things. Samuel doesn't.
Well, wait a minute. Who was Samuel in the Bible? Samuel was quite a character in the Bible too. I think. I'll just give you some general ideas.
All right.
I think.
By the way, Dr. Burnett, how old are you?
I'm a little bit younger than you.
Oh, really?
52, Sam.
52?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You sound your age. No, I'm just kidding. You sound very pleasant.
He's a young guy in my book.
I love your sense of humor. Sam, I would say that, you see, because you fail to do or not do something, that you're being punished in the dream. I think it may relate to your perfectionism or to your fear of making mistakes, in the sense that maybe you make a federal case out of making a small mistake. That maybe what is happening here is that you die 1,000 deaths because of the fear of making a mistake. Not the actual mistake itself. I'm sure someone like you probably doesn't make very many mistakes. But the dream, you see, is repetitive. It happens many times. And the reason it's happening many times is because you're still dealing with the situation, whatever the conscious situation is, whatever the real world situation is, you're dealing with it the same way, and you haven't quite changed. There's some resistance to changing here. And so you're getting the message again and again and again because it hasn't quite hit home yet. I would say, if I was you, Sam, I would really test something this week. I would go to work, and I would consciously and purposely make a mistake just to see what happens.
For some of us, it just comes naturally, Sam.
Dr. Burnett,
yes.
May I ask you something?
Sure.
Is it possible that if a person has, let's say, a health problem,
yeah.
Could that be expressed, that health problem, in terms
yes.
of dreams? Could that be symptomatic?
Yes, yes. If you had a health problem...
I don't know if I have it.
No. I do you worry about your health? Are you concerned about your health?
Slightly, but apparently the doctor has... doesn't, you know...
Yeah. Would you say...
Notice anything, hasn't...
Would you say you're a hypochondriac? Do you have imaginary illnesses like most of us do at one time or another?
Well, no. Sometimes I have a nervous stomach.
A nervous stomach.
I have sometimes
yeah.
difficulty with my digestion sometimes.
Yeah.
And do you think that could reflect in bad dreams?
Yeah, but in your case, I don't think so. I really don't. I think it has to do with fear. I think what is happening here is that for some reason, you're generating fear. You're experiencing an excess of fear. And fear is debilitating. Fear is a killer.
Yes.
Worry, doubt, and fear kill us. And we die 1,000 times when we mull over something and we create these fantasies in our mind about these disasters that are going to take place. And primarily, they are imaginary. Most of our fears, I imagine all of us listening now can relate to this. Most of our fears are imaginary. They're illusions. And when we finally turn and face them, they diminish in power. I remember a client of mine, Sam, who had a really strong, fearful situation at work, and she just could not face this. Finally, after 6 months of work in therapy, she confronted the person who was creating this fear in her. And that night she had a dream that she was running from this monster. And finally, she turned around. And the monster shrunk to a little pussycat and rubbed its body against her leg. So, you know, if you face your fears, I think they diminish in their power. And I would say that you're allowing, there's some fear in there that you just need to allow yourself to confront.
Does that help you out, Sam?
Oh, tremendously.
Right. Because I have a fear, too. But I'm not going to get all the commercials.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you very much.
Sam, thank you very much for talking with us. Talking about dreams, we all do dreams from time to time, and I am sure that Barbara does. What's on your mind about dreams, Barbara?
Excuse me, Barbara, could you hold on just for one moment?
Right.
There's one other comment I would like to make to Sam, perhaps to help him with his fear. Sam, think of yourself as doing the best that you can in your work situation. You can do no better. You absolutely can do no better. You're a number 10. So trust yourself. The way to reduce a lot of that fear, Sam, is to realize that you, under on the conditions that you're working, with all of your aptitude and abilities, you are doing the best that you can, and you can't be called on to do anything better. You're a number 10. So just trust yourself. Thank you.
All right.
That was very nice.
Does that help you, Barbara?
No, it doesn't.
Have we solved your problem with that?
I had a fear that I wasn't going to get on.
Never fear, dear.
But anyway, Bill, this is a wonderful show, as usual.
Thank you.
I listen to you mostly every Saturday night. Dr. Bernard.
Yes.
First of all, I want to tell you you have a wonderfully soothing voice.
Thank you.
And you sound much younger than 52.